to market yourself to those people specifically.
So then what I'm hearing you say then is marketing towards the mainstream is more of a branding play, whereas marketing towards your consumer base, the niche kind of audience, would be more trying to market for a return on investment type of sales means or
that,
purposes.
Yeah, that's what I think. I think it's more of a PR thing to go with mainstream, you know, as far as building up your branding and your publicity. But then the other thing that this article talks about, which I find really interesting, is the concept that America is now starting, because porn is getting more acceptable, quote unquote, and going more mainstream, the American population, or the conservatives and the traditionalists, the prudes, are freaking out that it's turning into like this epidemic, you know? It's going to be cast off, like this article talks about smoking, like it'll be the next tobacco thing, right? So people are going to start addressing it. Instead of it being a moral issue, it's going to be a health issue. And how is the industry going to deal with that and kind of combat that? You know, and they're talking about how it's ruining relationships and ruining marriages and all this kind of stuff, but it's doing it from a health issue versus a moral issue. And how that is actually going to have an effect on how we as an industry function and market and deal with the laws that are going to come behind that, the bad press that's going to be that's not just going to be a left or right thing or a moral issue. It's going to be like a health issue. It's kind of a good point. I mean, that's kind of what you're seeing, some of the anti-porn stuff. That's how they're going now. So,
which I think just as bogus as their other arguments, you know, they put health or science behind their arguments of, you know, why porn should be shut down. I think it's a bunch of non-critical thinking arguments.
Oh, yeah. It's all emotional scare tactics, which a lot of our politics are actually like that, too. So maybe it just goes right along with all that stuff, too. So, but it's a really, really good article. And I think it's chock full of a lot of issues that need to be, you know, kind of addressed. And it talks a little bit about how we as adult industry, quote unquote, professionals, do we need to be concerned about this porn addiction? And is it really an addiction? Are we really to blame when people are just, you know, trying to avoid their boring monogamy, and kind of how it plays into relationships and partnerships that are going on in the American society? And does porn really have anything to do with any of that? You know what I mean? So it brings up a lot of good stuff, and I think it's a great article. I liked it.
And, you know, it should be said that this was actually written by the new editor-in-chief over at AVN. You know, if this is any indication of them trying to turn the boat around, I think it's, you know, a good show. You know, maybe AVN is starting to make some of the right decisions now after just kind of flailing there for oh so long now. We shall see. We will watch and tune in next week, literally and figuratively. Next up in the news, adult app controversy on the rise. So apps, we love them, we hate them, we talk about them oh so much on this show. Yeah. What's going on here?
This story brings to light, although it's not a new issue, the controversy behind these new apps, the erotica apps, the stripping apps, all of the new hopeful porn apps. It brings up some issues with how they can really be presented and still be kind of policed in a way.
I think it really comes down to who controls distribution, right? Who is the traffic cop here?
Well, there's that. And there's, I mean, that's one of the big issues is who, you know, whose decision is it? The other thing I think they're running into is they don't exactly have, I don't know if it's a technology issue, if it's a processing issue, but they're having a hard time figuring out how to keep these from popping up, the thumbnails for the objectionable apps from popping up in situations where they really shouldn't be popping up, like in school situations or, you know, when kids are around or whatever. So it's a matter of the parental controls not really covering, but then does that mean we don't have them? Not necessarily, this kind of thing. So
don't you need a credit card to buy these things? And don't you need to be over the age of 18 to have a credit card?
Well, I think part of the thing is that you can browse before you buy any of them, you can browse them. So, and I'm not an app person really, so I don't know. I've never played around with it much, but I think that when you're browsing which apps to choose and to purchase, even if you have parental controls on it, like you can look online and stuff and it pops up. So if you're under the age of 18 and you're just looking for apps to buy, whether it's how to fucking figure out your tips or your homework or whatever the hell it is, you know, and these porn ones pop up, or softcore is really all they are, but you can still see them. You can still see the thumbnails.
But I seem to remember Apple instituting some kind of parental controls in the App Store like a year ago or 9 months ago. And well, so why isn't this a moot issue now? Why haven't they figured out a way to keep